You're listening to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony, and today I'm joined on the show by Brooke Ardwin in Louisiana and Brad Hay in Canada. And we've got a really interesting show for you with a lot of stuff that we're going to cover. So how are you doing there, Brooke?
I'm doing great. It's so good to be back. It's been a lot of weeks since we've been here together, and next in-house, we'll be back with our team, I'm sure, soon enough. But today we have Brad Hay over there way in Vancouver, Canada. And he's, as many know, he's been on the show before when he was visiting here in Louisiana. And what a great in-house, right, Brad, we had when you came over?
That was a blast. It's probably not as hot.
Yeah. Yeah. So now it's time to have you back. And today we're just going to be basically having one of our, you know, headline news shows like me and Tony had done when Tony was here. And it's kind of time. There's so much going on. We can't possibly bring up everything, but we kind of wanted to have a show today just to talk about some of the news points happening that we see every day. And that's what we're going to do.
All right. Get me back, guys.
Yeah, it's great to have you back, Brad.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds great. So, Brooke, let's kick off with you. What have you got for us there?
What I'm going to do first, I am going to just talk a little bit about Trump and government and kind of get that out of the way. I don't even know how we could cover everything in a little 50-minute hour show. We cannot. It would literally take hours upon hours. We see so much going on every day in the news. And it's not just light things. It's really important things. It really points to these days being the last days. It's going to get worse. I don't see it getting any better, according to God. That is what will happen, you know, as time plays out, as tribulation starts, different things. We're definitely in the birth pains that they've already begun a while back. So we're just getting further and further into it. And basically all I can say is buckle up, buttercup, and, you know, fasten your seatbelts, yeah, and take note of your nearest exit in case you have to scram. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. Have your passport ready.
That's right.
Have a tribulation vehicle on hand with your friends and ready to go. So, I mean, I'm laughing, but I don't take it lightly. We just have to laugh sometimes because we've seen a lot of bad news every day. So anyway, first of all, when it comes to Trump and government, you know, we have this. I'm just going to bring up a little bit of points here, not discussing much under each, but, you know, we have seen this whole Russian conspiracy going on that really threatens to take him down. You know, there's been so much impeachment talk, and never before in my lifetime, at least, or maybe because I was little, I didn't notice, but that I have seen such contempt for a standing U.S. president. And not to say that there's not things that I agree with him as far as his lifestyle, things like that. But I'm setting that aside. I am simply speaking of how quick. I mean, he's only inaugurated in January, and they are determined to get him taken down. And it's just the things they're trying to stand on, you know, it keeps falling apart because God is ultimately in control. And we do know God did place him there regardless of what he's going to do. God's in control and God chose him for such a time as this. But I've never seen anything like it before. I'm sure you guys haven't. Now, what I want to bring up is just a little list of so many that are out there, as far as celebrities, even with this whole mocking his assassination and wanting to kill him. And they're mocking it, but we know in reality, that's how they really feel. Mm. That's what they really want to do. And I can start with like, okay, remember Madonna voicing how she wanted to blow up the White House openly. Snoop Dogg has put a video out there a few months ago portraying Trump as a clown called Clump, and where he plays out a mock execution of him with a fake pistol, you know, just wide open. We have the Shakespeare in the Park play going on in New York. And Trump is, of course, Julius Caesar in there. And he's dressed as Trump, not Julius Caesar. And he's like brutally stabbed to death by minorities and women. And let's not forget the infamous video of comedian Kathy Griffin posting not very long ago, you know, Trump's head that was beheaded and full of blood, which was just that was just something else. First, she does this. Huge repercussions from it arise immediately. Well, then she gives out this apology. Half-heartedly, I will say, or not even at all. I wouldn't even give it half-heartedly, because she came back, what, a day later with her lawyer, who was a piece of work, if you watch that video, and threatening to sue. Now she's going to sue Trump because he has ruined her and her career. And what? Are you kidding me? You have the nerve to get on there with a head, a fake Donald Trump head. I don't care whose head this was, guys. But now you're going to turn around and blame him for your demise in your career. And I hope it is. I hope she's done with, because she's vile and crude and lewd. And I never could stand listening to her because it made me nauseated. So, no, I sure hope she caused her own demise in comedy. I mean, I know there'll be some who listen to her still, but goodness gracious, I'm sure she pays the consequences in her career for it. Now, last week, the Huffington Post ran a story calling for Trump's execution because they said impeachment just isn't enough. So we have major newspapers and online newspapers and sites calling to kill him. We see a while back, Phoenix, Arizona has a huge billboard depicting Trump as a Nazi and everything else, but they call it art. It's art. You know, I can't imagine passing by that and having to explain to my children what is all even going on with that. But needless to say, I'll move on. Marilyn Manson, whom I've never been a fan of, even in my most sinful rock and roll times, he has a music video where he kills Trump. We have many, many actors and actresses on social media, Twitter. I don't have it, so I don't see, other than if I read news stories on it online. But there are so many of them, like Mickey Rourke, and you talk about A-list actors who are speaking, I mean, violence towards him, saying they want to really hurt him, kill him, punch it, just whatever. And they're just outright speaking these things. And two Republicans, you know, as well, not just him. But we see also there's a former late night host, Larry Wilmore. He went out joking about suffocating Trump with a pillow, with the pillow they used to suffocate Judge Scalia. I mean, hello. So, okay, well, that showed me, well, wow, look, even these extreme leftists believe the yeah, judge was murdered.
True.
This is what he's speaking out in the open. Oh, he would like to use the same pillow. But you see, no one's paying attention to that. Mm. Now, as far as government goes, the biggest thing of the week, which happened Wednesday, well, a few days ago, was, you know, the 66-year-old gunman, Hodgkinson, who opened fire at the congressional baseball practice field where the Republican Steve Scalise was critically wounded, shot in the hip, you know. And if not for the Capitol Police, which that has been stated at multiple sources, even the extreme left wing reporters have stated, if not for the Capitol Police being armed and getting there so quick, it would have been a literal massacre. Probably all 15 to 25 people would be severely injured or dead, because the gunman, I mean, he unloaded, put 50, 60 rounds on just 15 to 25 people. So thank God that no one ended up 6 feet under from this. But what I do want to say, most importantly in this, I posted an article to our A Minute to Midnight group by Michael Snyder, showing how Democrats are already using his shooting to call for more gun control. And it blows my mind that they're doing this, because ultimately it was guns that saved everybody, ultimately, in the end. And Michael Snyder, you know, put out a piece saying, since this incident happened, things will never be the same. This is a huge turning point in what happened at that baseball field. And I totally agree with him. I think it's very important to keep up with what Michael Snyder's putting out right now as far as what's going on in government, because he is on top of it. I mean, I don't know how one man can write so many articles a day and be so on top of things, because as someone who writes articles, you know, Tony, sometimes it takes me days to get through one. And he is just, God has just given him the grace and he's just throwing them out, and they're so important. But what Michael said, it used to be the security of the president and vice president we mainly had to be concerned about, along with a handful of other high profile targets. But now literally every member of Congress is a potential target. And what should be the result of this is that all members of Congress be allowed to be armed. Bottom line. Not start, you know, Democrats start screaming gun control and taking guns away, which is what saved those people. And, you know, what I wanted to bring up in my own, what I thought about this as I'm looking through this is, you know, we hear of all these terror attacks and terrorists using guns to kill people. But what you don't hear are the magnitude, because there's a magnitude, if you look into it, of stories out there in the United States and in elsewhere where people have guns that are saving people's lives with their guns because they have a concealed carry, or they live in states like myself where we can carry a gun in our vehicle at all time without any kind of license. And if we come upon a situation that our lives are in danger, I can take that gun out of that car and I can open fire if I have to. You know, if someone's on a rampage at a gas station and killing everyone around me, you know, surely something's probably going to happen where I arm myself to try to save my life or my children. I wouldn't blink twice in doing it. You know, I am going to fight before I stand there and let someone shoot me or my children. But you don't hear about all the heroes that have saved so many people because they are armed. And history shows us, if you go back in time, you can do the research on it, the very beginning of nations and countries crumbling, where governments completely take over, completely, is what? Gun control. They take away their guns. It's happened time and time again in so many countries. And that's the end of it. Government comes in and they are totally controlled. And, you know, we have a constitution, we have Bill of Rights that they created. So it's supposed to be, you know, not the government controlling us. It's supposed to be the people in charge. And we're seeing that's not what's happening anymore. You know, that's long gone. I've said pretty much all I have to say on that and things going on in government and, you know, top headlines right there. Brad, we want to hear more about what's going on in Canada, because as I read about Canada and a lot of things you see in the end, actually, Canada is no better than the United States. It's worse and worse by the day. It's appalling what's happening in your country.
Yeah, it's quite concerning. I have obviously been watching for a couple of years now, since I guess you could say the Lord woke me up, and was quite concerned about what I was seeing going on with the U.S. under the previous administration. There was almost like a systematic attempt to undermine everything that the country was built on. If you really study the Constitution, and I'm not an expert on this, but I'm quite familiar with your Constitution and all the rights and freedoms. It's probably the finest piece of man-made governmental mm-hmm. documents in the world that's kept the country prosperous and free for so long. But I think people have figured out ways to use some of that. Let's call it, the U.S.'s good nature against you guys. And that's people that are getting inside to the government with corruption. I'm sure that you can't do this on a systematic scale like this without probably decades of planning. So there's people behind mm-hmm. the scenes pulling strings, putting people in positions of power. I saw that happen in Canada, because when the elections happened to replace our previous government 2.5 years ago, we had a conservative government. They were called the Conservatives. So Stephen Harper was our prime minister. Always a friend of Israel. His background is in business, and he's got an economics background. So he ran a tight ship financially. The government was pretty well running, no deficit for 10 years. And then, of course, I think Trudeau promised to start spending like crazy when he got into power. Instead of going over budget in his deficit by what he promised, $10 billion, within the first 6 months to a year, he's blown through, actually it's 2 years now, so he's blown through almost $60 billion. One of his first acts of power in his position was to donate money overseas to some other countries' needs. So what is wrong when you got people in our country that are starving, that are homeless, that need help, you got services that need to get taken care of? So it's been concerning to watch it follow what I think is the last 8 years you guys had endured. Regardless of where you stand on politics, this is an experiment that he's doing that is going to have some fruit one way or the other. We're going to see in the next 5 years, you're going to see the results.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is he tried to create such a United Nations cosmopolitan view of his cabinet that he put in positions there like, he has the highest percentage of Muslims in positions of power. He has his foreign affairs minister, which is in charge of all of the relations to other countries and immigration, is a Muslim. His name is Omar Al-Ghabra. And one of his first things that he positioned himself on back in 2004 was he wanted to introduce asylum status for all the Palestinian refugees in Palestine, 5 million of them. So he's proposing, he's still on the topic of that. So he's got the ear of the prime minister now. And interestingly, I had heard that Justin Trudeau, as soon as he got into power, he brought in, what is it, Open Societies Foundation, which is apparently related to Soros, to help get our refugee numbers up from 250,000 a year to 500,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Canada's only 37 million people. So mm-hmm. that's within the end of his first term of office, if he's successful, he's going to have increased the population by 5 million, all refugees. And I'm seeing the same kind of things going on where you guys are seeing them, where there was a...
Yeah, it's everywhere. Yeah. Look at Europe. Look at here. That's like the main goal, infiltration of the refugees.
It's nothing to do with the individuals. I always tell people, you know what? You have a front door in your house. You lock that door not because you hate those on the outside. It's because you love those on the inside. And our country's mm-hmm. borders are our front door. Mm-hmm. And what's concerning is if you actually look at the Bible, when God talks about the nation of Israel and the protecting the people in there, you'd have watchmen on the wall. Their job was to watch for invaders, people that are coming to attack the city. They're surrounded by pagan nations. They went in and cleared out the land in Canaan and probably made a lot of enemies. But God gave that land to them, made promises to them, mm-hmm. showed them how to live as a society. At first under theocracy with him in charge, and then secondly with kings that were running the country. And I think with kings, you found there were some times when it worked well and sometimes when it didn't, just like you guys are going through now. You've got a king in Trump that is taking the country a different direction. Some may not like where he's going, and all we're going to know is at the end of the day, it's not what he says, it's what he does that matters. And I'm going to use his own words against him. He says, it doesn't matter how many ideas you've got. Trump said that it's what you accomplish in life that matters. So I'm just going to sit back and watch. I'm going to do my own thing here with what I can reach in Canada. Mm-hmm. And I've already made my judgment, I think, on Trudeau's goals. He seems to be a globalist. He's never worked in his life other than a part-time job as a high school teacher. He snowboarded around all over the country. He inherited his daddy's wealth. His father was a prime minister back in the 70s and did the same thing to spend the country into oblivion. He brought in our amendment to the Constitution, which is the Canadian Charter of Human Rights and Freedoms, and added a bunch of language that really created a whole bunch of political correctness that is been built on by Trudeau. Like one of the last things Trudeau just did, which is interesting because you'll see pictures of him buddying up to almost every people group. But the one group he's actually said is the biggest problem with Canada is fundamentalist Christians. He's on record saying, but Bill C-16 just got passed last Thursday. This is a federal level amendment to our Human Rights Act. It's to add gender identity and gender expression. So if you don't think you're a man, you think you're a woman, even though your blood test shows you're an XY, you're a man, it doesn't matter. We have to now consider that, or your expression. If you know what, at this moment right now, I don't feel like I'm either. I'm actually in between. And this afternoon, I want to be a woman. This morning, I'm a guy. I'm supposed to respect and use the appropriate gender pronoun. And if I don't, it's actually a violation now of the Human Rights Act and a criminal code violation under the hate speech laws. So this is absolute insanity. So this discussion I'm even having right now, I have to preface it and say, you know what? I'm just asking the question. I can't even articulate my opinion because it seems to be legislated mind control. They're not happy to have people tolerate. They want people to be complete acceptance of the what the aberrant. So this is a real area of concern for me, and it's amazing how fast it's been transpiring. I've watched it in 2 years go from a deficit-free government to $60 billion deficit. If he keeps this up, he's going to spend us into the ground. He took seven of the main military bases across Canada and turned them into refugee centers. And there's video of the guys on base and women being evicted and having to move into hotels. And then he's earmarked money, lots of money, to be able to pay for mosques to put them on there. We had an entire town burn in Alberta, in Fort McMurray, burned to the ground, and 8,000 people out of home and businesses. And one of the first things the government's funded was a rebuilding of a mosque in Fort McMurray. So you got to wonder where, again, if we ignore what they're saying and watch what they're doing, it just seems to me that there's a general of favoritism of a certain ideology. And I don't think we should be apologetic for saying that some ideologies don't fit with our country's standards. So what I'm going to have to start doing, unfortunately, is when I speak my mind on this, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm happy for your belief, but I'm not in agreement with is slavery, rape, murder, beheading, female genital mutilation, all those things that are attributes of some ideologies. But that's the government's.
Well, our debt here is has reached 14 digits. I'm not even going to read it out. I'm just saying, wrap your mind around a 14-digit number.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It will never. And then that's not all of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not counting. We're talking. Listen, we're never getting out of this.
No, and that's the plan.
And it will. Yeah, it will go at some point.
That's
you cannot just keep printing money. Brad, we were talking earlier, and I have some things to say going on here, and then Tony has some things to put in, but can you share a little bit of what's happening with, or if anything is happening with concerning children in Canada?
Well, you know what? That's where, I mean, if you look at Hitler, he realized to get the control of the country and get the popular vote, you had to get to the children. So they had the brown shirt program. There was indoctrination going on. What's going on now, which is quite concerning, and you're seeing it emerge out of right now just one province, Ontario, but they have a very liberal government called the NDP, which actually has its roots as a communist organization. It's just got a new label on it, and it's a little more center politically than it used to be. BC, where I live, British Columbia, is potentially going to be forced into another election in the next few months. If they do so, it's probably going to go to another NDP government. But everything that they're doing is the direction that Trudeau is leading us as a, mm-hmm. as a leader of the entire federal government. So Bill 87, I don't know the status on this, but it's a forced vaccination rule now. So if your kids are in public school in Ontario, they will not be able to continue to stay in school unless they receive vaccinations.
Yeah.
Now, whether so it has nothing to do with whether you believe they're right or not. It's a question of they've taken away the ethical right that you have to not be administered a procedure without consent.
For the parent to choose.
Yeah.
For their own child.
Well, even the child. If the child says, I don't want it, mommy.
That's what I'm saying. There's no choice there.
So that's, and if that passes, that's going to be the model probably for other governments that wind up going that same direction. It's stripping parental rights.
Already in this country, in the workforce, we've heard stories. Yeah. We've had guests, Lauren Atkinson, you cannot work here or be a nurse any longer if you do not take it, which she stood. She stood for what she was going to stand for, and so be it if she lost her job. And only God, thankfully, they allowed her. But that was through God's grace because of who she is in Christ. But it's already starting here in the workforce, you know. But as far as children, this week, and I know so many people who are in our group who follow the stories. First of all, let me bring up, I'm not just talking about my own children. I'm talking about children in general. And first, the Word of God says in Matthew that whoever offends the little ones, it is far better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, you know anything about a millstone, you can look it up and look at the weight, how many tons it is. And Jesus is serious here. When it comes to this and playing with his children, children are a heritage from the Lord. And it is the duty of an adult to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And let me tell you, I am seeing what's happening to children all over the world. And so much is happening here in the United States lately that's been coming out and let out in the news, coming to the forefront. And God is angry. And God, there is a righteous anger. And we know our God has every right to be angry with what's happening with children. And He will avenge his babies. He will avenge his children. And to bring up a few areas of outrage here, this month I posted a story that across the nation, now not at one school, there's public schools across the nation that had children bowing to Islam, bowing in prayer to Allah during Ramadan. And I even had a picture of one of the schools of the American children fully bowed down in prayer on, their little magic carpet carpet there. I am sorry. It makes me so angry. And let me tell you why it's so angry. I'm so angry. Okay. Anyway, what I can respect about Muslims, stopping in this story for a second, is how committed they are to praying. to their God, though it's a false God, five times a day. It doesn't matter where they are, what they are doing, they will stop and pray. And I am sorry, many Christians don't pray one time a day to our God. There's no commitment. There's no discipline. And those people are disciplined. So you know what? True Christians can really look at that and learn from it. I'm not saying it's right in what they're doing. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying the principle of it is they're that dedicated to their God. I mean, who won't answer any prayer? So if we were just a fraction of that dedicated in prayer, can you imagine how powerful God would begin to move in our lives, for our nation, for our friends and family and everything? But moving on, it makes me so angry, because seeing the children bowing to Allah, and many parents are against this. I mean, it's going on in the school. They're not sending out consent forms for these parents to sign. So after the fact, you see parents rising up really angry. And our children can't even, and teachers can't even mention the name Jesus in a public school, much less express in any way in school that they are a Christian believer. Any way, on their shirts, on anything. It's totally banned. But yet, our American children can bow down in prayer to Allah. What is going on, really? And it's being allowed, and it's okay. Mention Jesus, though. Hey, you'll see the next kid on the news, on Fox, or wherever, and poor thing, they nearly crucify him because he said Jesus in school. But Muslim prayer is on and being taught. I also, I know so many of you are going to just love this one. The LGBT movement is vastly infiltrating our children as well with in these libraries in the U.S. where they have the transgender drag queen coming in story time. And what gets me, the parents are so excited about it. I mean, just completely excited about it. Parents that don't even have gays in their family, just because it's story time and it's, look at this character all dressed up. And if you pay attention, listen, these drag queens in these libraries, they are not reading The Little Engine That Could, people. I paid attention to the books because in some of the photographs, you can see the titles on them. And then in some of the videos, I listened, of course, they have videos out there with some of them and what they read. And it's same-sex worms, all these animals doing their thing that they're reading out to the children. And guess what? The kids get to pick their drag names in the end. And it's just so much fun. So it is totally infiltrating and programming our children by doing this. And I cannot imagine how grieved God is in this, because this is innocent children. They don't know any better. Shame on their parents. Shame on all of you. I don't care what I get for saying that. I could care less, but shame on you. You know, another story a few days ago that really got to me. Oh, an 8-year-old boy. Now he's becoming this social network and online and TV, you know, little prodigy. 8 years old, he calls himself, of all things, Lactasia. And he's dressed in drag, and he is going all over the place. He's in drag bars. He's 8 years old. While they're doing their drag shows, and the host, the drag queen, has him up there, and you know, he's full of life and a big old little personality, 8 years old, and they're clapping for the mother because she's in the audience, and everyone's clapping for her because what a wonderful mother she is. And I listened to this little boy speak on a video, and it literally sounds like he's 21 years old at 8 years old, and you know, shaking his head and shaking his finger, and I don't care what I say about this, and you're going to listen to me, and it's appalling. it's appalling. We also reported the latest topic on this has been going on for a couple of years, because I've heard reports of it from Watchmen from a couple of years back, the normalizing of pedophilia in the law is actually going after this to normalize it. And if you don't think this is coming and can go through, think again, because it is. They are pushing for this. That, and there's so many pedophiles that have come out. Literally, they come out, they send their picture on social media, I'm a pedophile. They're announcing it. And they're saying that, but it's okay because I don't act on my impulses. But they lusting after children as young as three, guys, three. Well, you know, when we get to a point where we start saying pedophilia is a normal act and it's okay, and hey, you guys, y'all come out and smile and put your picture all over social media and we're just going to praise you for that. This makes Sodom and Gomorrah look like, I don't know what, Disneyland? It's ridiculous. You know, there's just so much going on as far as abominations towards God. And, you know, God says in Jude 18, 19, that in these last days, there would be mockers who would walk after their own ungodly lust. These would separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit of God. These people out there have anything but the Spirit of God. Now, should we pray for them? Yes. Should we not demean them, name call? It does us no good if we are truly His, that when these stories are posted, I made a cry out in the comments, like, listen, guys, if everyone would pray, let's not speak curses on these people any more than they're already cursed, because many of them are walking in generational curses. We know it's disgusting. We know we don't like the sight of it. But I think, you know, the Lord would want us to say, hey, this was somebody that I created also, and that I died for also, and that I loved unto death as well, who got caught up in this sin, who are filled with demonic influences from God only knows what doors were open even as children, that it wasn't even their fault. I'm not agreeing with what they're doing, but what I am saying is, we as the body have got to realize the love of Christ for these people. And one prayer for them. We don't know what God can do with that, because they're hurting people. These people are miserable people. They may not know it or say it, but those that have come out of mutilating their bodies have all said, I wish someone would have told me. I wish a Christian would have come to me. I've seen them sobbing, saying, not one person prayed for me. I don't want to stand before God and Him say, why did you ridicule them when all you had to do was pray and I could have honored that? You don't know what one prayer can do. So we do really need to think about that. And Tony, I know, how about you? What do you have to add to that as far as children?
Well, first off, let's just look at Europe. We've just seen basically French President Macron and his government getting a parliamentary majority of probably having won at least 301 seats. So they're going to be strong there in France. But in Europe, in general, I mean, I'm not in Europe, but in Europe, there have never been so many childless politicians leading Europe as there are today. They are modern, open-minded, multicultural, and they know everything finishes with them. No kids, no problem. So being a mother or father, but they don't even know what that means. Number of politicians, okay? Macron's one of them. He's married to an older woman, no children. There's also German Chancellor Angela Merkel, Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte, or Rutte, or however you pronounce it. And then you have Prime Minister of Sweden, Stefan Löfven, Luxembourg's Prime Minister, and Scottish Minister, also Nicola Sturgeon. These people have no, and the list goes on. These are people with no children that are running countries in Europe. A Minute to Midnight's Chris, he said something quite profound the other day. He said, how can we protect future generations if those in power have no future generations of their own to protect? And I don't think this is coincidence. Personally, I think these people are getting into power because they have no children, because then it's easier for them to bring these laws into play and such things as letting in lots of refugees and all of that. So they've been given these positions of power because they are less likely to fight back. If we look back to Adam Weishaupt, you know, Illuminati founder, one of the seven-part goals that he laid out very early on in the Illuminati was the abolition of the family. That was a goal of the Illuminati. If you go further down to Karl Marx, who was also an Illuminist, basically, and the founder of communism, he also laid out in 12th clause, abolition of the family as a social unit. So all of what we're seeing now with attacks on the children and the LGBT movement and all these other things you're mentioning are a long time, I believe, strategy, demonic strategy, satanic strategy towards bringing in the New World Order. They're just now in the final stages of implementing this stuff. So it's getting worse and worse, but it's always been a long-term plan to do that. If they can get the children and have it so the government basically controls the upbringing, not the parents, but it's everything is state controlled. That's how they're getting everyone into this new world order. And so Europe, it's happening big time. You know, you've got all these refugee crisis and all that, like Brad, you've mentioned in Canada, and the same thing is of course 10 times worse in Europe at the moment. And you see the terrorist activities happening in Britain, London, and Manchester, and it's only going to get worse. And yeah, the children are big time affected by all of this, and the fact that you have leaders in these countries that have no children, see that they see themselves, they're pretty much the last generation in a sense, so they don't have to worry about their next generation because they don't have one. And I think that's a very clever plan. So looking at New Zealand, you know, because this is where I am. Unfortunately, New Zealand has the highest rate of teen suicide in the developed world. And that's crazy. I mean, we live in, you know, arguably the most beautiful country in the world, many would say, or certainly one of. And yet people are committing suicide. And yet, I saw this headline this morning, Mum's Despair, Nowhere to Go for Out-of-Control Christchurch Teen. This particular, you know, husband and wife are saying they feel that Sam either has to commit some really bad crime or attempt to kill himself to get proper help. And they live in that fear every day. So, you know, we see suicide and no, you know, no proper controls, nowhere for them to go. If it's a drug and alcohol problem, nobody wants to know, you know. It's like, oh, well, we'll get them sober for today and then let them go, kind of thing. So suicide is an issue. But another thing is, besides the children, they're getting us at the other end because they're trying to get euthanasia legalized as well. And that's there's a in New Zealand, we have New Zealand an outfit called ACT New Zealand, which is one of the political parties. David Seymour trying to push through a private members bill to legalize euthanasia. And there is currently a petition being circulated by Family First of New Zealand. And I suggest if anyone's in New Zealand that they sign that petition, which basically is trying to stop that bill to push euthanasia in New Zealand. So they're getting the old and they're getting the children, which means you have a generation of in-betweeners that they're setting up to run the world, because the children don't know any different, because you see they haven't lived through what you and I know. We've seen where it's come from, but the children, they don't know any different. See, they haven't seen all that. The old people know even more. If they can get rid of the old people, then they're getting rid of that generation that knows better, and so you're left with this in-between generation, and they're the easiest ones to, you know, to then for the children ongoing to become the New World Order, the implementing of the New World Order. And I just see this as a long-term plan, and it's obviously very satanic.
Oh, yes. I just put out a story. I forget what state it was, but they're pressing into law to starve to death dementia patients. Literally starve to death, take away food and water.
Yeah.
Even when the patients are hungry and thirsty. Now you talk about barbaric.
Wow.
Mm. Yep. That's happening right now. In fact, a husband of a dementia patient, you know, in her wishes, she didn't want to be prolonged by IV usage. But when it came down to it, the nurses that were taking care of her, she was motioning that she was hungry and thirsty. And the nurse, of course, gave her something to eat and to drink as best they could. And it relieved her. And the husband was furious because she had written that she didn't want. And I mean, he's going to the law about this now. And it's just outrageous that these nurses and this facility is being targeted because he said, I want her starved to death.
Well,
this
see,
is what she would want.
Yeah, well, in New Zealand, see, one of the main reasons why Family First New Zealand is pushing back against the euthanasia bill here is because it's one of the main reasons that politicians in New Zealand have rejected previous attempts to decriminalise euthanasia is that they realised that the safeguards, while sounding good, would not guarantee the protection required for vulnerable people, including the disabled, elderly, depressed or anxious, and those who feel themselves to be a burden or are under financial pressure. That's what Bob McCroskey, who heads the Family First New Zealand, has said. So international evidence backs up these concerns and explains why so few countries have made any changes to the law around this issue. We simply need to ensure, basically, palliative care is in New Zealand is fully funded and world class. So in essence, you know, what you're saying there, Brooke, that this man is saying that he, you know, he's furious that his wife is not being starved to death. So, you know, no matter what her current wishes would be, he's basically calling the shots. And so the vulnerable and those that can't answer for themselves are basically, you know, their rights are gone. And that's what the trouble that's with right. euthanasia is.
Right.
Brad.
Remember the words of Jesus when he said in John, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. When we take God out of our societies, our schools, our governments even, because freedom of religion is not about freedom from religion. It was about the religious that believed in God trying to get away from the oppression in England, in the case of the United States. If you don't have godly people in power, what happens? People perish. The nation will perish. So I think God's been asked or demanded to leave all these places that he originally had a place in, and he's a gentleman. He walks away. He says, okay, but you're going to be left with the wickedness of men's hearts one to another. So I think we're going to wind up seeing the outcome of this. But out of this, I'm fully believe that God's raising up a refined body. Those who are plugging into God and pressing into him are going to wind up being lights to the rest of the world. It doesn't take much to light up a room. One little match, and you can see your way. You blow that match out, and the room is pitch black, and you have no idea where you are. I wanted to add one thing that was really concerning, because you're talking about the children and all this strategic destruction, I think, of all the freedoms and rights that we have that aren't from government. They come from God, and they're just supposed to be protected by government. The biggest one that just happened in Canada, I wanted to add to this for children, because you guys remember when Jesus was in, he's talking about, I think you had mentioned this, Brooke, that Jesus had mentioned about the millstone. When you, if you read the example in Mark, the account of that, it says in Mark 10:13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. These are the guys around Jesus at his feet. And they said to him, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine. Remember the anger he had righteously when they were buying and selling in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I imagine he said this with a stern tone in his voice, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. So if Jesus did that with his own disciples who were shooing the kids away, mm-hmm. what is he going to do with our governments and our families? I'm putting half of the blame of this on the church for sitting back and doing nothing, worrying about our worship services and whether there's enough of a light show, and is the music thumping enough? Is my coffee isn't hot enough? And you've got a generation of kids who have been coddled and entertained to death. And we've got a country that has no context of what a real living creator is like, because they don't see him alive in our own believers that they claim to know him. So before we start pointing fingers at our governments, I think we should be looking first at ourselves, and secondly at our own churches that we claim to be a member of. I just had to get that out, because it's what we just did in Canada. We added Bill 89, got passed by a whopping majority, like 2/3 majority, to add gender identity and gender expression to the Ontario, I think it's Child Protection Services, some law there. So it now will allow them to supersede any religious or parental rights. If your child at some point says, I feel like I'm a different gender, you actually, and they decide that you're not providing the right treatment for your child, maybe the child wants to go through hormonal therapy, they'll take your child away. If you want to adopt or have a foster child situation, they can deny you because your religious rights. This sounds to me like, how can you destroy countries' national sovereignties? And it's wrong to call yourselves a patriot now. We're being branded like neo-Nazis. You see the skinheads over in Europe.
Again, Brad, I've got to say that was one of Adam Weishaupt's original Illuminati plans, was the abolition of patriotism. So there you go.
Yeah. So I think Satan is working on every angle from what you described, getting our kids, making the church ineffective, getting these draconian and barbaric laws either overturned or instituting things that are going to undermine everything that God put in place. It all started with this immigration thing, but we've let somebody else dictate to us how to run our lives, our kids, our countries, and we really should be looking to the Lord if we want to get this thing.
Well, something else that I'm going to bring up that affects our children every single day and is also a lot of blame of parents, really is. And Christian parents as well, because many don't monitor what's going on. Our kids are connected to the matrix by every possible piece of technology out there. And just because a site says, check the box if you're 18, really, how ridiculous. You know, anyone can, a six-year-old can check that off. You know, they're not checking a birth certificate on that. But first of all, let me start by saying 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12, talking about, you know, all these abominations and everything. It says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they believe a lie. They that all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Pleasure in unrighteousness. And I posted a really good video just a few days ago. Kathy Johnson sent it in, and it's titled Beware the Greatest Deception of All, Billions Will Be Deceived. It's only like 20 minutes. It is a fabulous video. It's not talking about children, but it is talking about different things. I highly urge anyone to watch it or look it up on YouTube. It's a pastor is actually speaking this. And I said, wow, if more pastors were up on their pulpits actually speaking this way, what a great change the church would come into. But John Little recently posted about TV shows filled with pornographic content. And I'm talking cable, not late night HBO, but cable content. And what I want to bring up is the ones that are completely steeped in occultism right now. And there are, it's endless. It is endless on TV. Every day there's one out there. And I don't watch. I've watched a few just to kind of see what was going on. And I was appalled at it. It's just constant from beginning to end. I just wanted to give you guys a few of the names of these. It tells you enough. But one that started last year is called Damien, The Beast Rises. This is this guy copes with life as the Antichrist. Show on cable. Last year, MTV put out a show called Shannara Chronicles. Okay. It's all about demons and elves and a world known as the Forbidding. It's just filled with demons from beginning to end. They also have The Magicians on Sci-Fi Channel. It's a group of young students who discover their magic is very real and very dangerous. Needless to say, though, it's very dangerous. The use of witchcraft and magic is just constant throughout the show. Other titles go by Angel from Hell, American Horror Story. That I have actually seen more than one episode when it first started, and my mouth was on the floor, literally on the floor. Lady Gaga is the one that actually was in that. And also, we have one called Lucifer. I mean, you can just guess what that's about. It's this very handsome actor, of course, who plays Lucifer. He was bored and unhappy as the Lord of Hell, and he resigns his throne to move to L.A., of all places. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And the one, there's a one called Shadow Hunter, a woman ventures into the dark world of demon hunting to find clues to help her find her missing mother. And this, the top-rated one that I see constant, I can't even bear the commercials of this cable, this Netflix show. I can't even bear it. What is it called here? Stranger Things. That's on Netflix. Now, there are school-age children, a ton of them in the cast. I saw them it was just on the news the other day that the cast and, you know, they were at one of these award shows or something. And it's filled with witchcraft, supernatural elements, and the U.S. Department of Energy is in it. And they secretly do experiments into the paranormal and supernatural along with test subjects. So, you know, you can just about imagine what all is involved in this. And listen, if you're not paying attention, this is the kind of thing that is all over TV. And this is what your kid is in their room at night with their cell phone while you're asleep or doing your own thing. This is what they're watching. It's everywhere. It is completely programming our kids into the world of the occult and witchcraft and making it look so enticing because it's full of children in the shows. You know, it's cool. So we just have to be so careful of what's happening in our own homes, because, you know, it starts in our own homes. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and it will never depart from him. Though we also have children who aren't serving God, and we trained them up, I did, in the way of the Lord. And right now, you know, they have departed from it. Brad, I know you can say the same thing. Tony, I know you have your kids. There's so many of us we have more than one kid. They may all be like that, or one or two or whatever. But you know what? We know who our God is, and we know it's not lost in them. It's not lost because we work to instill that in them. And I cry out to parents who are in Christian homes to please, no matter what's happening, love them. Love them as the Lord would. Don't beat them up with scripture. I've been told to basically shut up by God, because I was, you know, using passage to bang over their heads, and that just drove my oldest daughter away. And she's finally coming back now, you know, we have a relationship, but it took 5 years. And I just love her. And it's our actions that are going to show. But pay attention to what your younger ones are doing that are still in the home. And you are in charge of that home and you can demand, oh, no, not in my home. Check their phone. Check the laptop. Check their social media. Be very attentive to that. So, you know, that's what I hope parents will do.
Excellent. Yeah, very true. And remember, in Philippians 1, verse 9, it says in the King James Version, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." And in the margin, judgment is discernment. So that's what we need, folks. We need a combination of love and discernment when dealing with all of these issues that we've talked about today. Either one of those is missing and we're out of balance. So let's keep that in mind. Discernment and love, very important. Two great characteristics we all need. Well, I really want to say a great big thank you to both Brooke Ardwin and Brad Hay for being on the A Minute to Midnight show today. It's been really awesome to have you guys on here.
Thanks for the invite, Tony. It was so much fun getting with you guys again. Always like to be, you know, the only female in the group. It shows who the smart one is. They're both cracking up. Okay, I'll look better at least.
Say yes, Tony.
Yes. Boss, no boss, right. 3 bags full.
I will both have you back again at my home. You remember that.
It's been fun. Thanks so much.
Yeah, and folks, remember that A Minute to Midnight is run by donations, and we really do appreciate it when people contribute to help us keep this show running. And don't forget, you can find all of our shows on the aminutetomidnight.com website and also on iTunes and YouTube. So you have those options where you can find all of our shows, and we do keep archives of all of the shows. So I think that's about it for today's show. We've gone quite long today, but it's been well worth it. So thank you, and until next time, this is Tony signing off.
And Brooke signing off.
And Brad signing off.
Good night. Have a great day.